Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today. Picture that first Easter morning. As Mary Magdalene arrived at Jesus' tomb, the earth began to shake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled the stone away from the door. The guards outside, the Bible says, shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel told Mary, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he is risen. He is coming back as the Messiah. He is coming back to rule and to reign. He is coming back to place his throne on the Temple Mount in the holy city of Jerusalem, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be made glad in it. For our Savior is not dead. He is risen." Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? And if you brought your Bibles, turn them to Matthew, the 28th chapter. As this morning we have the opportunity to rejoice and celebrate in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Last Friday evening, we celebrated the remembrance of his sacrifice at Calvary on the cross. And throughout the year, it's a regular occasion inside services all across the United States and around the world that we remember the cross, what happened for us at the cross, how we were redeemed at the cross, how the miracles that Christ brought to us through deliverance begin at the cross. But I find it ironic that we only begin to tell the story because the cross is not the end, it's just the beginning. The end of the story is him whom they crucified arose on the third day, and he is alive, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father with power and great glory. This is Matthew's account of it. It's found in chapter 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word." Now read verse 9 with me. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' But they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Now, I want you to revisit verse 9 for just a moment and notice that there's one word right in the middle of the verse written in red. And we understand that the red words were the words that Jesus said. And I noticed that when we read that verse together, either you forgot what punctuation means, or you believe what you've always seen on television, that Jesus is a Shakespearean trained actor because he's always so calm and collected in all of his films. And you probably feel like when he met Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and he's just defeated death, hell, and the grave, he lands in front of them and says, "Rejoice." As if he's the butler at some high-end hotel. But I believe, considering that this is a battle that began before time, in which he was the seed of the woman who was promised to crush the head of the serpent, and he was the deliverer who was going to come and graft all mankind into the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had just told every power and principality that he was the Lord triumphant and that there wasn't anything that they could do once one of his children mentioned the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that when he met those two ladies outside of the tomb, he had something to shout about. So we're going to reread verse 9 and let's see if we can't find a little more enthusiasm about the victory that Jesus Christ won when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Are you ready? Here's what the Bible says. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying,
rejoice.
So they came to him, they held his feet, and they worshiped him. Heavenly Father, we are in this sanctuary today to worship you. You are the risen Savior. You are the conqueror of Calvary. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the Lamb who has overcome. And with all of heaven, we stand in this place and we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. May the presence of the risen Savior not only rest in this sanctuary, but with every life that is watching across this nation and around the world. We are here today to rejoice in the joy of our salvation, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is alive indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. In faith believing we receive. And all of God's children said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Church, you may be seated. This morning we have gathered to celebrate the resurrection. This morning we are here. Not out of tradition, but we are here because this is the occasion upon which all of our faith is built. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is empty and our faith is in vain. If he's not alive, then chain the doors of this church and every church shut and don't have a reason to go back. If he's not alive, then no sin has ever been forgiven, and all men are without hope. If he's not alive, then there is no heaven to gain, and there is no hell to shun, and we have no reason to rejoice. But we didn't gather here today to talk about everything that Jesus is not. We're here today to talk about everything that he is. He is alive, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the victor over death, hell, and the grave. Every power and every principality bow before the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who has made a way where there seemed to be no way. There was no way for me to get into the presence of God, my Father in heaven, but now, because the veil has been torn from top to bottom, all I have to do is mention the matchless name of Jesus, and I can find audience with God Almighty and get grace and mercy in my hour of need. There was no way for my sins that were scarlet to be washed white as snow, but when Jesus Christ bore my nails and took my shame and was bruised for my transgressions and he carried my iniquities, all my sins that are scarlet are now white as snow. No, because the Lamb of God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. There was no way for me to be grafted in, because before the cross I was outside of the covenants, but now because of the cross I'm a part of the family of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. There was no way for me to have victory over the grave. I couldn't walk through the valley of the shadow of death with anything else but fear, but because of what the light of the world Jesus Christ did when he shined upon the grave and he turned it to a mere shadow. Now my last breath on this earth is my first breath in the presence of an eternal kingdom where I know that my Savior lives and he reigns. Church, the grave is the gateway to glory because God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. Today I rejoice in God my Savior. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus gave one word, rejoice. He wanted to celebrate the fact that everything that he had promised was done. The resurrection gives us a command to rejoice. 2,000 years ago, last Sunday morning, all of Jerusalem was talking about one topic, but they all had different opinions about it. All of Jerusalem was talking about this Jesus. The Pharisees were talking about Jesus. Who does he think he is? This untrained rabbi from Nazareth thinks he's the Son of God? He's dangerous. People follow him. We should find a way to shut him up. Rome wanted to know, who is this Jesus? They take off their cloaks and they put it before his donkey. They wave palm branches and they shout, Hosanna. Maybe he's a threat to our power. Maybe he's an insurrectionist that's coming to overthrow us. Maybe he's somebody we should watch out for. The disciples are talking about Jesus. They're talking about what he's done. He just raised Lazarus from the grave over there in Bethany. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He made it 5,000. He calmed storms. He walked on water. Surely he's the promised one. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the debate rang out. Who is this Jesus and what should we know about him? But by Friday night, it didn't matter what you thought about Jesus before. Everyone agreed upon this fact. It's over. The Pharisees were laughing on Friday. It's over. It worked. We had him tried and accused, and all of a sudden we convinced Rome to crucify him. He's dead. He's gone. Rome said it was over. One more revolt avoided. One more insurrection contained. We're still in power. Rome wins again. The disciples, with broken hearts, they said, it's over. How can it be over? How can our teacher, how can our Messiah, how can the one with so much power be dead and gone? How could the one who calmed a storm with simple words be arrested by just a man? How could he be nailed to a cross? It's over. Fast forward 2,000 years later, and there's still lots of people talking about Jesus, but they've all got different opinions about him. This world is full of people who know him by name, but they've never met him personally. There's the agnostic and the atheist, the secular humanist, and they, like those of old, think that Jesus is a nuisance. They think his ancient teachings do nothing but give false hope to people who are weak-minded. By the way, that's what the elites think of people like you who come to churches like this. Congratulations, you're in good company. Then there's the religious, the self-righteous, those who believe that they can contain Jesus in man-made rules of some denomination. They believe that they know what Jesus wants and who Jesus likes and who Jesus doesn't like, who he's for and who he's against. And what you need to know is that Jesus Christ is not any more for or against anyone. He is a whosoever will Jesus. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will. The worst of sinners, if they'll believe in him, he'll wash them white as snow. The addict bound in his addiction with his chains of bondage, if they'll believe in him, they'll be set free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The lonely, if they'll believe in him, will find a friend that's closer than a brother. The weak and the weary, if they'll believe in him, they'll find strength and a haven of rest. His promise is, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, if you will believe in him, he'll comfort you, he'll heal you, he'll love you, he'll mend you, he'll restore you, because that's the kind of God that I serve. There were those then and there are those now who doubt him. There were those then and there are those now who try to control him. But there were those then and there are those now who have been to a place where they have met this man face to face, and they know beyond the shadow of a doubt who Jesus is. Just as there were faithful then, there are faithful now. We've seen him do too much to deny him. We felt his faithful touch to walk too strong to walk away from him. We know that the Redeemer lives because we've seen what our God can do. We cannot be silenced, and we will not be intimidated. We cannot be manipulated because we've been through the fire and the fire didn't burn us. We've been through the water and the water didn't drown us. We've seen mountains move and captives set free. We've seen the sick healed and marriages mended. We've seen the master of the wind calm the storms of life. We've seen the conqueror of Calvary take the doctor's diagnosis and eliminate it with his shed blood. We've seen hard hearts softened by his Holy Spirit. We've seen him love the unlovable, touch the untouchable, do the impossible. So don't waste your time or your energy trying to convince me that Jesus isn't alive. He spoke with me this morning, and I know my Redeemer lives. Just as it was then, so it is now. Lots of people talk about Jesus, but only a few have met him. Matthew 28 and verse 9, again it says, and Jesus met them. Say that with me. And Jesus met them. Just as the risen Savior met those two ladies that morning, he meets people all the time, every day. Some of you remember where you were when he met you. Those of you watching know exactly the moment when he met you. You were at the end of your rope. You didn't know where your life was going, and suddenly you met the gentle shepherd who said, "This is the way, walk in it." You were about to lose your family. Your marriage was going to be destroyed. And suddenly, the Prince of Peace walked into total chaos, and he restored what the enemy had tried to destroy. You were facing a mountain that needed to be moved, and you didn't know how it was going to move, but suddenly the mountain mover walked in and he met you, and that impossibility was removed, and God made a way where there seemed to be no way. You heard what the doctor had to say, and you read what the statistics had to say, and you believed that that was your future, but suddenly the great physician walked in, and he canceled the doctor's orders, and whom the Son set free is sitting here healthy and vivacious, filled with life today, because you met the living Savior. When you meet Jesus, you'll do what the text says. You'll rejoice. Why? Because he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. You'll rejoice. Why? Because he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. You'll rejoice. Why? Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Christ said one word, rejoice. Why? Because the resurrection reminds you that the impossible is possible. You don't have to strive to do too much in this life before people will tell you that it's impossible. If people tell you it's impossible, rejoice. Because you have evidence through the resurrected Savior that the impossible is possible. The very room that you're sitting in is a testament to impossibilities. People said when Pastor wanted to build a church like this, it's impossible. Well, guess what? The impossible is possible because we're here today. How many businessmen wanted to start a business, and when you started to tell others about the dream that God had put in your heart of the things that you believed he wanted you to do, what did they say? It's impossible. And yet today you sit here blessed because you had the courage to step out in faith and do what others thought was impossible. And you can look back at them and say, guess what? The impossible is possible. How many parents hold children that doctors said they would never have, but that nursery is full of little miracles because the impossible is possible. I think it's funny how people of faith can drive around a dump truck of despair and a spoonful of hope. You tell them, I believe this is what I'm supposed to do. And they go, well, I don't know if it's going to work. I'm not sure. Is this the right time? Are you sure? I mean, are you prepared? Do you have enough education? And they back up their dump truck of despair. Beep, 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 beep. And then as they drive off, they take that spoonful of hope and go, but I'll pray for you. I'm not sure I want you praying for me. Just drive on. It doesn't matter what they say. When you see the fact that Jesus Christ, who was dead, is alive again, it's all the evidence you need to know that my God can do the impossible. You'll rejoice when you remember the resurrection. Because the resurrection proves that every promise that God has ever made is true. If Jesus Christ is alive, then every line and every letter of this book is a reality. And if he's not alive, then every line and every letter is a lie. But my God is not a man that he should lie. And with the resurrection of my Savior, I know that every promise that he has ever made, he will keep. When you think about the resurrection, you'll rejoice because death has been defeated. What I want you to do this week is live every day with the same enthusiasm for the resurrection as you have right now. Because it's easy to celebrate that he's alive on Resurrection Sunday, but guess what? He'll still be alive tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. And that's when it's important to remind the world that Jesus Christ is, has always been, and will forevermore be the risen Savior with healing in his wings. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house. I'm forever amazed at how people who call themselves Christians can live a life of despair. Jesus didn't say, hey, it's me. He said, rejoice! And yet we walk around with a, hey, it's me kind of God. That's not the attitude of Christianity. The disciples who walked with Jesus for years, they didn't have the courage to go to the grave on resurrection morning. It took two women to do that. These mighty men who marched into Jerusalem with him just a week ago are now hiding, full of despair. Why? For the same reason that you allowed despair into your life. They forgot what he said. And when you live a life of doubt and despair, you are forgetting what he said. When the angel saw the disciples, he told Peter and John, remember what he said. Say that with me. Remember what he said. For 3 years, they had listened to Jesus Christ speak about his death and his resurrection. For 3 years, he told them, the Son of Man must be delivered up, but on the third day, he'll rise again. But then when they saw him arrested and they saw him crucified, what they saw in their natural eyes caused them to forget what he had said. And now they're filled with despair. The same is true of you. When you see things go a different way and your expectations aren't met and you can't understand what God is doing, when what you see with your natural eyes is something you never thought you'd see, you find yourself full of despair because you forget what he said. If they had remembered on the third day, he'll rise again. When he got arrested, they would have walked on and said, "See you Sunday." They would have been waiting right outside that tomb. "You fellas need a bigger rock. It's about to happen. It's about to happen." And when he'd have come out of the grave, they'd have had like streamers and confetti cannons and be like, "He's back." But instead, they're hiding. Because what they saw erased what they heard. The Bible doesn't say that we walk by sight. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Don't let what you see cause you to forget what Jesus said. Have you been through great reversal? Remember what he said. "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." Have you suffered loss? Remember what he said. "I'll make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath." Have you been through some major tragedy? Remember what he said. "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Are you feeling like the world is against you? Remember what he said. "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You are a blood-bought child of God, enlisted in the triumphant army of the living God. You can do all things through Christ. Don't you dare wonder or worry if God is for you, because God has given you his only begotten Son, and since he is for you, who can be against you? Church, remember what he said. Everyone who meets the resurrected Savior is changed forever. Just look at the disciples. Peter, he was around Jesus. He heard Jesus. He went fishing with Jesus. They had a good day. Filled the boat. I mean, anybody you go fishing with and fill up the boat, y'all are friends for life. It's just man law. And yet Peter, although he was around him and he knew of him and he had heard him, he still hadn't met him. Because Peter is hot and Peter is cold. Peter is in and Peter is out. Peter is awesome and Peter is awe. I mean, have you ever been around somebody that when they are on, they are amazing? And when they are off, they are amazing? You know what I'm talking about? The two spectrums of amazing. Amazed at their magic and amazed at the mess. This is Peter. He's walking on water and drowning. He's professing, "Thou art the Christ," and then getting rebuked. He says, "I'll die for you and I'll live my life building your church," and then he's hacking off ears. It's hard to start a church when your ushers are whacking off ears. But Peter, as inconsistent as he was before the resurrection, when he meets the resurrected Savior, he becomes so consistent that he preaches on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 are saved. He becomes so confident in Christ his Savior that when he is arrested for preaching the gospel and they let him out of prison, he falls to his knees and he asks the Holy Spirit to give him more boldness, that he would have the ability to preach with more power. He's so certain that the resurrected Savior is alive and awaiting him in glory that when Rome is ready to kill Peter, they say, "We're going to crucify you just like we did Jesus." And he says, "Do me a favor, flip the cross upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord and Savior." What made Peter so certain? He met the resurrected Savior. Before he knew about Jesus, but then when he met Jesus, he knew something was different. Consider James, the brother of Jesus. In his earthly ministry, he doubted and denied Jesus. People would come to James and they'd say, your brother's a miracle worker. He'd say, no, he's not. You should watch him eat cereal. Gets it all over his shirt like everybody else. He was so close to Jesus and so familiar with who he was, he didn't believe anything could be exceptional or supernatural about him. He'd allowed familiarity to blind him. And many people have been so close to the church and so close to Christ all of their life that they don't believe that there's anything more that they can receive from him. But James saw Jesus crucified, knew he was dead, and then saw him alive again. And everything changed. James is willing to die at the sword for Christ, not because he followed a lunatic and a liar, but because he saw Jesus Christ who was alive. What was the message that the first century church preached everywhere that they went that eventually brought Rome to its knees? What was the secret that they had to share that caused everyone who heard it to come to grips with the reality? It wasn't a gospel of grace, and it wasn't a message of prosperity, and it wasn't overwhelming hope. Do you know what they told the world? Simply this: him who you crucified is alive. He is alive. He is alive. If there's one message that will change this nation, it's he's alive. If there's one message that can save the world, it's he's alive. If there's one message that will change your life, it's he's alive. It's a message that causes demons to tremble and saints to rejoice, because my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is alive, alive, alive. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I say this in closing. Everyone who meets the Savior is changed forever. Have you met him? Do you know him and the power of his resurrection? Because if you do, then that resurrection power that brought him out of the grave, it's alive and it's well in you. That's what Romans 8 and 11 says. The same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in you. If you've met him, then you can rejoice today, because the same spirit that does the impossible dwells in you. The same spirit that conquers and defeats death, hell, and the grave dwells in you. The same spirit that overcame on resurrection morning, it dwells in you. But if you haven't met him, I want you to know with all of my heart, you need to. And the reason you need to is because if you don't meet him now, you will meet him soon. There is coming a day when this same Jesus, just as the angel said, shall come just as you've seen him go. And when he comes, he's not going to be the Lamb of God slain for sinners, but he's going to be the King above kings and the Lord above lords. And when he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you met the risen Savior? If not, you're not really living until you do. But if so, then you have a reason to rejoice in the joy of your salvation today. Would you stand in the presence of the Lord? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place today. And you know that you haven't met the resurrected Savior. Maybe you've been around the teaching, maybe you're familiar with the terms, but you're either in or you're out. You're hot or you're cold. You're not consistent enough to say that you live for Christ, you live for self. But today you know that the thing that needs to change in your life is the fact that you need to receive this Savior who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. If today you want to receive him like that, I want you to raise your hand right where you are so that I can see it and heaven can see it and all of those around the throne today see your hands in this place. Others of you in this place, you say, I know the risen Savior, but I've forgotten to rejoice in the joy of my salvation. I've allowed despair to cause me to forget what he said. Right now, I'm walking through a dark season, and I need comfort. I need to remember what he said and let the joy of the Lord be my strength. And you're in this place today, and you don't want to leave with the same despair and desperation that you walked in with. You want to leave here rejoicing like Jesus said. If that's you, I want to see your hand right where you are. I want to give you the opportunity to come to this altar this morning, because the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. If you'll take a step of faith towards Christ, Christ will close the distance towards you. And if you raise your hand to receive him or to be baptized in his joy today, I want you to come walking this way as we begin to sing and worship and let his presence fill this place. Come as we sing. Because he lives, I can sing tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. Would you worship and sing as they come? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. There are still people walking this way, some coming from the balcony, some coming from overflow rooms. No matter how far you've got to walk, we'll wait for you. You're worth the wait this morning. Those of you who are watching, no matter where you're watching from today, I want you to know that the same resurrection power and the Holy Spirit that's in this place is with you. When we pray here, you pray where you are, and whatever need you have today, I promise you, the risen Savior will meet that need. He'll hear your prayer. You're not disconnected from the church. You're a part of what's happening in this moment right now. And I just want you to know that we're praying with you and for you just as you join us. We're going to sing just one more time because I believe that there's still others that want to know, will Jesus really take me? Will it really make a difference? What if I just stand here where I am? Let me give you this challenge.
Try Jesus and find out what a difference he can make. Give him the opportunity to prove himself faithful to you. We're about to pray, but if you want to come and receive this blessing today, I want you to come as we sing this last verse.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Because he lives.
There's two more in this aisle. There's two more in this aisle. There's two more in that aisle. Here comes another. This is what church is for. I want everyone at this altar, everyone here in this sanctuary, those of you who are watching, raise your hands and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
thank you for the gift that you have given me,
for the gift that you have given me,
salvation
and triumph.
Your death washed me white as snow.
Your resurrection
gave me victory. Not just in heaven, but here on earth. So today I rejoice in the joy of my salvation. And I receive your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness in my life. Cleanse me from every unrighteousness and make me your child today. I receive you into my heart. Into my life, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? Would you give the Lord a shout of praise in this house? God is good. I'm going to ask those of you who are here just to go for a few moments with our pastoral team. Pastor Daniel Gonzalez and Pastor Eric are over there. Those two men waving their hands. They would ask you to follow them because some of you here have decided to receive Christ as your Savior today. And that's the most important decision you'll ever make. Others of you came because you wanted to have an opportunity to be ministered to. You came because you wanted a opportunity for His Holy Spirit to touch you. Well, all of these pastors want to pray and give God the chance to do just that, so that when you leave here, you know you've been in the presence of God Almighty and you received what you asked for. So if you would please just begin to walk this way and follow those two men up those stairs right there. You'll be back with your families in just a few moments. Trust me, they will not leave you. We have plenty of coffee and cookies to keep them here until next Easter. You have nothing to worry about. But church, the Bible says that all of heaven shouts for joy when one comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you go ahead and let heaven hear how excited Cornerstone is about those who've received him today? Come on, church, clap your hands and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven's not done clapping, you shouldn't be either. If the Spurs or the Cowboys could even make the playoffs, you'd probably clap a little harder. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Because he lives, I can face. Shout in this house today.
If my counting is right, we've just had the largest altar response in the history of our church. Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his peace. May you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's destiny for your life. For you are a chosen vessel of light in a world of darkness. The Lord of hosts has anointed you to crush that darkness with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.